Good morning again. Our scripture for this morning is Mark 4, verses 30 through 32. You can read it on page 914 in your pew Bible or along on the screen behind me. The parable of the mustard seed. He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of the seeds of the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nest in the shade." Let God give us understanding. This is Holy Word.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Doesn't take much. Bigger is better. Go big or go home. This is an American mantra, the commercial and subliminal message that we receive. Never mind what we need. We are told that we should want more, that we deserve more, that we were made for so much more than this. Comparing ourselves to each other, we should have more by now. We work hard. We should play hard and accumulate as much stuff as possible. We say the person with the most toys wins. This is the gospel of consumerism. This is not the message of Jesus Christ, but a marketplace motto. We want to be the big spenders and the major players in this American empire. Our televisions get wider and so do our eyes. We always want to go bigger. There's always room for growth. We buy more house than we need, more car than we can afford, more clothes than we have closet space. I repent, Lord. Bite off more than we can chew, take home more and more work, take on more and more responsibilities. As children, we ask for more food than we can eat. My mother would say, "Your eyes are bigger than your stomach." Like our Israelite ancestors, we are never satisfied. Even when God is leading, we are second-guessing the divine every step of the way, and would rather take hundreds of steps back, even if it leads to Egyptian bondage, because the manna and the very presence of God is not enough. Because we, like the children of Israel, would rather get full on the painful familiar rather than live from God's hand to our mouth on daily bread. No, we want our blessings now. We want to live our best life now. We want what we believe we deserve right now. We want to hoard God's favor and corner the market on God's goodness. We sing that God's got the whole world in divine hands, but really, we only want God's hands to be open to us. Me and mine, us four and no more. We take more than we give. We have made God so earthly that God is of no heavenly good. God is so down to earth that we talk of God as if God is on our level. While some shake hands with the devil, we behave as if God is merely going along for the ride. That God is on our side and in agreement with all that we say and do, but God is not a yes man. God's open hands does not mean that it is open season to do whatever we want and to ask for whatever we will. God will provide for us just as God does the sparrow. No more and no less. It is the myth of scarcity. We live as if God is not enough. We respond as if God does not have enough love for the world and can only love our corner of the world. We act like God's provisions are not sufficient, as if the gospel of Jesus Christ needs to be added to. We behave as if the kingdom of God is physical and material. But the Apostle Paul said to the believers in Rome, and he says to us this morning, "For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Still, our society encourages this greed, this pseudo need for more, which feeds on our fears and feeds off each other. Our economy benefits from it. Stores capitalize on it. We can supersize our fries, so why not our lives? We have mega churches and malls, skyscrapers, high hopes, and big dreams, so of course we want to run with the big boys, be the big shot and the big kahuna. We want to be able to call the shots. We want everyone to know that we are a big deal. We're in the big leagues now. We run this. We're in charge. Everybody reports to me. It all comes down to me. No one wants to start small or to not be seen. No, we want to be larger than life, too big for our britches. We want to be so full of ourselves that persons will say we have a big head. We want to talk big. But no matter how hard we try, this is not a good fit for Jesus. Jesus doesn't look good in a business suit. He doesn't carry a big stick, but a cross. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. So he would probably prefer overalls, because his ministry should get our hands dirty. His work should cause us to break a sweat. If we are the hands of Christ, then we should break a nail, and our hands should have calluses on them. Yes, Jesus doesn't clean up real nice. Friend of sinners and one of the poor, not just among them. He is not what we have made him, and he is certainly not how our paintings display him. Jesus didn't ask for much, and he didn't have much to give. A scribe approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He is clear on what he has to offer. Jesus comes empty-handed to give his life. Yeah, Motel 6 may leave the light on for you, but you will be sleeping under the night sky with Jesus. He doesn't fare better than the animals. Jesus is exposed to the elements, and if you will join him, don't take much. Jesus tells the 12 disciples before sending them out to proclaim the kingdom of God, "Take nothing for your journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, nor money, not even an extra tunic. Pack light so that you can pick up your cross and follow him." The kingdom of God is nothing like America. Jesus says it's like a mustard seed. One parable after another, from the parable of the sower to the parable of the mustard seed in Mark chapter 4, Jesus has begun a teaching series. He is in an agrarian culture, a farming community. He uses what he knows and takes what he has to teach and to reach his hearers. Jesus knows what they have access to is seed. It is key to their livelihood, and not just any seed, but a mustard seed, which measures 1 to 2 millimeters in diameter. Doesn't take much, doesn't look like much, and it doesn't appear that it can do much. In our eyes, it's small and insignificant. The mustard seed doesn't measure up to our grand visions of what the kingdom of God would be like. It's not strong and independent. It's not muscular and tall. It's not opulent and extravagant. The prophet Zechariah warns us not to despise the day of small beginnings, and Jesus drives the point home. Big things come in small packages. With what can you compare the kingdom of God? What is the reign of God like? Amazon? Facebook? Google? Walmart? Wall Street? Author Brennan Manning tells us what it is not. The kingdom is not an exclusive, well-trimmed suburb with snobbish rules about who can live there. No, it is for a larger, homelier, less self-conscious cast of people who understand that they are sinners. But they experience the yaw and pitch of moral struggle. The kingdom of God is not a black tie event with red velvet ropes. Dr. Vitter Westhell, a systematic theologian, said that the kingdom of God is nearby, adjacent to our own reality, present yet veiled in the boundaries we avoid and the margins we protect ourselves from. So there is no riddle. The eschatological reality is here, yet we feel the urge to evade it and the lure to ignore it. The kingdom of God is not hard to understand. It is not a difficult concept to grasp. It is as natural as the earth and its yield. It is between Jesus's two fingers. And Jesus says it's for children, not tyrants who demand their own way. This is Jesus's children's story. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter into it. This is Jesus's message. John the Baptist made the announcement, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." Jesus passed it on to his disciples. This is the good news they will come bearing. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of God is not under construction. It's not coming to a theater near you. The kingdom of God is now, and it's closer than we think. The kingdom of God is not coming from the top down. No, the kingdom of God is literally underground. It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. The mustard seed is not unlike the buried and risen Savior Jesus. Persons thought he was small and expendable. They crucified and buried him like a seed sown into the ground. His battered body didn't look like much. But they had no idea that the power of his resurrection was unleashed by his burial, that arms extended on the cross would provide shade, would offer cover, and be a home for all people for generations to come. Because Jesus was put down in the grave, we can come up from anywhere and come out of anything. The kingdom of God is in your hands. The kingdom of God is in between your fingers, waiting to be shared with the earth, scattered across the world. The kingdom of God can literally slip through our fingers if we let it. The world will take its best shot and try to take all that you have. It will tell you that you don't measure up and that you should sit down and shut up. The world will tell you to just take it, to take it or leave it. But this morning, I would ask you to remember the mustard seed. Be reminded that change is coming. That new life is on the way. And that it doesn't take much. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Come on and rejoice for the word. Rejoice for the word. Thanks be to God. If you all could turn your hearts now very quickly, we're getting ready to ordain Ryan Hedgepath and Jesse Royster. Position yourselves to receive them. Humble your hearts to accept them. Usher in the spirit of grace and certainly of worship as we receive them into this fellowship as servant leaders alongside this humble pastor. Today we ordain Ryan Hedgepath and Jesse Royster to the office of deacon. The title deacon comes from the Greek word diakonos and means servant. As such, deacons are servant leaders in the church, providing spiritual guidance and servant leadership to our congregation. Each deacon assumes responsibility for a flock or family units. Deacons maintain contact with flock members to be aware of special needs, pray for them, visit with them, and offer practical help. Deacons minister to the sick and bereaved, welcome newcomers, administer the Deacon's Benevolence Fund, assist with baptism and the Lord's Supper, promote fellowship, and assist the pastor in the spiritual care of our congregation. Election to the office of deacon is a high honor and a sacred responsibility. Ryan Hedgepath and Jesse Royster, would you both please come to the front and stand to face the pulpit? Won't you come? Whoever's shushing these babies, they are the kingdom of God. I fear for some of you who can't stand it when children talk during the worship service, that's heaven.
Yes.
That's the Bible. Them keeping up a racket and speaking out of turn and talking when you're trying to hear, that's what Jesus likes to hear. Keep up a racket. You said your boy does it better than most. I'm just trying to remind you of what Jesus said. As I read the Deacon Covenant, would you respond to each question with the words, I do? You don't really have a choice in the matter at this point. We have elected you all and you're already here. You can't leave. All right. Just wanted to be clear. You're trapped. Ryan Hedgepath and Jesse Royster, the members of this church, have elected you both, and God has called you to serve as deacons of Village Baptist Church. Do you declare anew your faith in Jesus Christ and your commitment to serve him? Do you promise to faithfully and prayerfully support the ministries of this church? Do you promise to cultivate your spiritual life through regular worship, fervent prayer, faithful stewardship, thoughtful study of God's word, witness and ministry to others in Christ's name?
I do.
Do you promise to care for the members of your flock, to watch over them, to pray for them, to visit with them, and to stand by them, offering your encouragement, support, and help as they seek to fulfill God's will for their lives? Ryan Hedgepath and Jesse Royster, please turn and face the congregation. You, as members of this congregation, also have a part in this ministry. Do you accept Ryan Hedgepath and Jesse Royster as deacons of this church? Do you promise to pray for them, to encourage them, and to cooperate with them as they seek to lead our church and to serve its people? If so, would you signify your encouragement, partnership, and support by saying boisterously, we do.
We do.
Amen. Got somebody in here. Need to feel like we got a bunch of people. Ryan Hedgepath and Jesse Royster, please be seated for the prayer of dedication and the laying on of hands. All ordained deacons and ministers of the gospel are invited to proceed to the east side of the sanctuary in preparation for the laying on of hands. Following the prayer of dedication, they will pass behind the candidate, lay hands upon them, and whisper prayers of blessing and words of commissioning. The prayer of dedication will be led by the chair of our diaconate, Deacon Ray Brown. Deacon Ray Brown, won't you come? Deacons are forming on the east side.
This is a joyful day. Let us pray for these new deacons. Our Lord and God, King of creation, this morning we turn to you to pray for our new deacons, Jesse Royster and Ryan Hedgepath. Since the time of the apostles, you have inspired the church to appoint trusted members to assist in particular ways in your mission. We praise you, Lord, for giving us the joy today of appointing two new deacons to serve here at Village Baptist Church. We would ask that you would bless these new deacons, that they know true humility, yes, and be faithful in their service for you. Remind all of our deacons of the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, in fulfilling the ministry you gave him, he came to serve rather than be served. Yes. He sought the needs of others rather than seeking his own. He ministered to people of all races without prejudice, with courage and determination. He loved people unconditionally. We ask, Lord God, that you pour generously into their lives your Holy Spirit. Fill them with your love and compassion so that they may see their brothers and sisters as you see them, and that they are equipped to carry out the duties that they have been appointed to fulfill. Lord God, we pray for these new deacons and indeed all your people here, that you would fill us anew with your Holy Spirit, and that we will be hearers and doers of your word, ministers of all people, friends of the poor, voices of the voiceless, and servants of our Lord Jesus. We ask this in his holy name. Amen.
Thank you.